So, okay, so we start out by saying that we saw at the end of the previous chapter, in chapter 13, that there is something deeply ironic, surprising, and unconventional about the way in which the triune God addresses the problem of evil, right? He doesn't come down and wipe it out. He doesn't snap his fingers like Q, you know, in the old Star Treks of just, oh, he changes everything and now, you know, everything's in the upside down world and you have to figure out what happened and if you need it. But he sends this baby into the world, and this baby is of two natures, and there's something odd and weird about what's going on here. Jesus Christ defeats evil in a comprehensive display of both conventional and unconventional power. Kind of what you would expect from an all-powerful God.
Yeah.
Evil comes face to face, not just with the usual and expected displays of divine retribution, the anger, the judgment.
Wow.
Yeah. The fire, brimstone, the sulfur, all that stuff. But also the unusual and unexpected display of his extraordinary mercy. Mm. Judgment expected, mercy the weird.
Yeah, the unexpected.
We don't expect the God of perfect and judgment and glory and majesty to go, there is another way.
Yeah, yeah.
And that this required the incarnation of the Son of God, which Son of God manifesting in the incarnation. This is the weird, the odd, the unexpected. It required that God invest himself in weakness and vulnerability, and this is utterly confounding. And people have been writing for it about it for 2,000 years and still marvel and weep and are scratching their heads. And it's a point of uniqueness that the Christian faith has, is that there's nothing that we do is our message, but our message is who someone is. And and it's an end unto itself. It's not, this person's really smart, here's the message they have. Muhammad, Buddha, they're all smart people in that religion that you listen to because they're holy men. But here we preach Jesus Christ as the means to the end. And ultimately our message is a person rather than the full-on messages.
Right, exactly. And so Christensen, you know, with regard to this weirdness, right, asks, you know, how can the Son of God be joined to the, fragile, finite creation, right? How does does God mark, you know, with supremacy and immutable strength, overpower evil with weakness, right?
Right.
So not what expected. The mystery of the incarnation, he tells us, and the crucifixion of the Son of God takes us to the nucleus of the divine solution to the problem of evil, right? He says, in this paradoxical reality, all the splendid rays of divine glory kind of converge and shine forth at their brightest.
Right. The New Testament is replete with this understanding of, I've come to bring you the ultimate message, not with words of wisdom and my speech, my tongue is of silver. It's no. What people view as kind of the stupid, I come to revel in it, or I come
foolishness.
What they see as
foolishness.
This is weird. I'm going to preach something that is antithetical to the people of the Acropolis of Mars Hill, and they're going to say that there's the resurrection of the dead would be the worst thing I could possibly teach from. And yet some listen and some believe from that message.
Yeah.
So it's a message that even the writers understand is unique and unexpected, but point back to the Old Testament of saying, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, this is what we should have come to expect. And you have like the Bereans searching the scripture and checking and seeing if Paul was actually telling the truth. And they say, oh, yep. We're some of the best
scripture
believers.
Backs it up, right?
We go back and we turn to Jonah. And here's the God who offers mercy against those that would reject him. But everyone believes in this, and it's unexpected mercy that comes about there.
Mm.